Isn't this a great Sunday? This is one of the most joyful Sundays of the year. Yes, there are tears, but they are tears of joy as we celebrate the accomplishments of our high school graduates. And the main thing that we want to do today to our four graduates who are sitting here, to Victoria, to Jack, to Miranda, to Caroline, is to simply say to you, we're so proud of you. Your church is proud of you and your accomplishments. We love you, and we are saying, go, my children, with God's blessings as you embark on the great pilgrimage of life. This is such an important time of transition. High school graduation, of course, is one of the great milestones of life. But you know, when you think about it, there's probably never another time in your life when the future is more wide open than it is right now. When you graduate from college, you've selected a major. But now, you can go anywhere you want to go. You can be anyone you want to be. And we just want you to know that our prayers are with you as you embark on this great pilgrimage. But I want to remind you of something. As we say congratulations to you, I had a man this week who said, my grandfather used to tell me that if you ever saw a turtle on top of a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. You didn't get here by yourself. There are a whole lot of people who have invested in your life, who have prepared you for the future that you are embarking on at this moment, beginning with your mom and dad. All of you come from loving homes. Your parents have been with you, have inspired you, have given you every opportunity to grow, to mature, to discover who God wants you to be in life. They have supported you. They have encouraged you. They have disciplined you out of love. But they've been there for you. Not just your parents, but your siblings, your grandparents, in many cases, great-grandparents. All of you have wonderful, loving families. And so when you march across that stage, and I know, Victoria, you graduated on Friday night. And Jack, you're going to graduate this coming Friday night. And Miranda and Caroline will graduate on Saturday. But when you walk across that stage and you receive your diploma, for a parent or a grandparent, that's just one of the greatest joys in the world. To see your child or your grandchild reach this point in their journey. So you didn't get there by yourself. And it wasn't just families, educators. You've had special teachers along the way who have challenged you, who have pushed you to the envelope, who have seen something in you that no one else did, who dared you to step outside of your comfort zone and to achieve the great potential that you have within. You've had special teachers, counselors, coaches, music and band directors, and all of those who have been there to inspire you. And then there are people in your faith community, Sunday school teachers, camp counselors, youth leaders, just people who have always been here in your church, who have just said a word of encouragement, who have inspired you, who have modeled for you what it means to be a Christian. And so when we say congratulations, we recognize that a whole lot of folks, a community, family, educators, faith community, everyone has been involved in this great accomplishment. One of my favorite movies is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Now, have you all seen the movie? If you haven't, you need to, since you might have a little time, find it on Netflix or something. You really need to watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It is loosely based, and I emphasize loosely based, on Homer's Odyssey. But it is the story of Ulysses Everett McGill, played by George Clooney, and his two cohorts, Pete and Delmer, who escape from prison. This is the 1930s in Mississippi, and they are escaped convicts on the run in the Depression. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is all about their journeys and their escapades. That's the movie that has that wonderful baptismal scene. You remember that? You've seen that when all of the people are walking through the woods in their white robes, and the music is so great, and they're singing "Down to the River to Pray," which we've used here on numerous occasions. Right after that powerful baptismal scene in the river, and if you remember, Pete and Delmer both get baptized. So the next day they're in the car. Ulysses is driving, and they come to the crossroads, and they pick up Tommy Johnson. Tommy Johnson is the guy with the guitar, and it's significant that they pick him up at the crossroads, and they start talking to him, and this is what he says. "I had to be up there at that there crossroads last midnight to sell my soul to the devil." To which Ulysses Everett McGill responds, "Well, ain't it a small world, spiritually speaking? Pete and Delmer there just been baptized and saved. You just sold your soul to the devil. I guess I'm the only one here who remains unaffiliated." Well, I want to tell you something. You are not unaffiliated. You all are affiliated. That scripture that Andy just read, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are God's own people. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. You are affiliated. And that keeps you grounded in everything that you do. I was thinking this morning, you know, I'm getting old. I've been here as long as you all can remember, before you were born. This is the 38th year I've stood before the high school graduates in my church and delivered a baccalaureate address. You know, the sad thing is, I can't remember much of what I said in those 38 years. But every year I try to think of something to say that would challenge you. Some lesson that I have learned in life to send you along the way, hopefully, with a little more wisdom. And I basically just have two things to share with you. Don't look for a career, but discover your calling. There is a difference between a career and a calling. Now, all of you are very gifted. I mean, I see all the awards that you have. Academically, you're gifted. You're going places in life. And so there may be dozens of careers from which you can choose and do very well in. But you only have one calling. And the challenge is to discover what that is. In the book of Jeremiah, through the prophet, God says to his people, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans that will do you good and not harm, to give you a future with hope." I believe with all of my heart that God has a plan for each one of you. And when you discover that, that is your calling in life. You see, a career is a path that you choose. But a calling is discovering what God has chosen for you. A career will result in a paycheck, but a calling will result in fulfillment. A career is something you do. A calling is who you are. A career will make you a living. A calling will make you a life. A career will bring fleeting happiness, but a calling will bring lasting joy. You see, a career is just basically a job, but a calling is your identity. In every profession, every career, there are two kinds of people. There are people that just want to come in and punch a clock and get a paycheck and do as little as they can possibly do to get by. Now, those people have a job. But then there are other people. Other people who have discovered their sense of calling, who believe that God has placed them wherever they may be, whatever job it is. If it is truly your calling, you're going to be able to use that to bring about fulfillment and to impact the lives of others. A lot of people say, well, now just do what makes you happy. I know grandmothers love to say that. I just want you to be happy. Well, we do want you to be happy. But I don't think you ought to do what makes you happy, because happiness is often self-centered. Do what brings you fulfillment. Discover who you are, who God is calling you to be. You see, the problem is we let other people define us. We let other people tell us who we ought to be and how we ought to act and how we ought to dress and what we ought to do. Back in 2005, the late Steve Jobs, the co-founder and CEO of Apple, gave the commencement address at Stanford University. And I believe this is just before he found out about his tumor that took his life. And this is what he told the graduates. He said, your time is limited. I don't think he knew what was going on with him. Your time is limited. So don't waste it living someone else's life. Discover who you are. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. God says, I have plans for you. And so be yourself. Be the person that God created you to be. The second thing is simply this. You have the power to change the world. Are any of you Harry Potter fans? Okay, good. J.K. Rowling, of Harry Potter fame, she delivered the commencement address at Harvard back in 2008. And I want to tell you what she said. She said, we do not need magic to change the world. We carry all the power we need inside ourselves already. We have the power to imagine better. Now, I would say that power that she's talking about is not just automatically within yourself, but that power to change the world is a gift from God. That God gives us the power. And that power manifests itself through kindness and love. And it is through kindness and love that we can change the world. I bet one of the first Bible verses that you learned when you were little in Sunday school was, "Be ye kind one to another." Remember that? Be ye kind one to another. Boy, we need to incorporate that, don't we? Because there are so many people today who are just rude. I mean, really. I've never seen so many people who are angry and mean and, I don't know, there are people just hard to get along with. One of the best-selling books in recent years on spirituality is a book called The Power of Kindness, The Unexpected Benefits of Leading a Compassionate Life. The Power of Kindness. It's written by a fellow by the name of Piero Ferrucci. And Ferrucci approaches kindness in three ways. He says, kindness is a form of conduct. Kindness is an ethos by which we live. And kindness is a therapy. He sees a decline in everyday kindness in the world today. And I do too, don't you? He says it's because of the speed of modern day life. But this is what he says about kindness. He says kind people are healthier. They live longer. They're more popular and productive. They have greater success in business. They're happier than others. They are destined to live a much more interesting and fulfilling life than those who lack this quality. And they are much better equipped to face life in all of its savage unpredictability and frightening precariousness. I don't know if you were here on Mother's Day, but on Mother's Day I was talking about that great movie, The Help. You seen that movie? You remember the maid, Abilene, and the little girl, May Mobley, and every day she would say to May, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." The power of kindness can change the world. I've seen it on every different level. I've seen it in the healthcare community. It doesn't matter how smart, how many degrees your specialist has, when you walk into his or her office, you want somebody who's going to be kind. You want somebody who's going to care about you. That is the foundation of every career, every profession, every job, but especially the foundation of your calling. Be kind. You have the power of love. And we have the example of Jesus Christ, who loved unconditionally. It's so easy to love people who love us. It's so easy to love people who think like we do, who share the same values that we do. But you know, the world is a different place than it was 38 years ago when I delivered that first baccalaureate address. We live in a diverse society that is changing every single day. When I went to college back eons ago, I bet that 95% of the students who went to school with me were Christians. Where you go to college, you're going to have people of every different faith and people of no faith. You're going to have people who have the same values that you do and people who have absolutely no or the opposite values. But what Jesus said is, we don't condemn these people. We don't judge these people. We love these people. We accept these people. One of the biggest issues that we have in our life today is, how do we deal with people who are different? We're talking about justice. We're talking about righteousness. We're talking about accepting people as they are. And even if we don't agree with them, we love them and we respect them. Jesus said, love your enemy. Love those who hate you. 71 years ago yesterday, the world witnessed the largest amphibious invasion in world history. over 150,000 soldiers, 5,000 ships, 11,000 aircraft. The invasion of Normandy, we call D-Day. You realize that in that one day, 4,413 soldiers died in that invasion. In one day. And most of those soldiers were the same age that you are, or just a little bit older. We often talk about the Second World War being a fight for freedom, but it was a whole lot more than that. The Second World War was a fight against hatred and discrimination and bigotry and ethnic cleansing. Because whenever you have a dictator like Adolf Hitler or some of the modern regimes that we see who are involved in this doctrine of hatred and intolerance and ethnic cleansing, we see the results. I challenge you to love everybody, regardless of who they are or what they stand for. Love and kindness is the power that will change the world. And so, graduates, we add our blessing. Before you were even formed, God knew you. While in your mother's womb, God named you. And at your birth, God's breath filled you with life. And today, we celebrate what you have become at this moment in time. God bless you. God be with you. Discover your calling in life and use the power of kindness and love.